Today's scripture reading comes from Genesis 18, first 15 verses. And I'll be reading today from the New International Version of Scripture. Genesis 18, beginning with verse 1. The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre while he was sitting in the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and he saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. He said, "If I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat so you can be refreshed and then go on your way now that you have come to your servant." "Very well," they answered, "do as you say." So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah. "Quick," he said, "get three sephahs of fine flour and knead it and bake some bread." Then he ran to the herd and selected a choice tender calf and gave it to a servant who hurried to prepare it. He then brought some curds and milk and the calf that had been prepared and set them before them. While they ate, he stood near them under a tree. "Where's your wife, Sarah?" they asked him. "There in the tent," he said. Then the Lord said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." Now Sarah was listening at the entrance of the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already old and well advanced in years, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, "After I am worn out and my master is old, will I now have this pleasure?" Then the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Will I really have a child now that I'm old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son.'" Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, "I did not laugh." But he said, "Yes, you did laugh." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Today we will continue our walk with Abraham and Sarah. Their names now change from Abram and Sarai. Names given to them that are fitting for those receiving the promise of God that their lineage and legacy will be great nations. It is a narrative scripted by God's divine purpose. Along the way, there was occasion for questions, as the divine plan was beyond human understanding. There was occasion for doubt when the divine plan seemed humanly impossible. There was occasion for personal intervention in an attempt to make compensation for what seemed to be flaws in the divine plan. And there was occasion for laughter in response to the unbelievable blessings of God. This morning's scripture reading breaks no new ground. It's a repeat. A reiteration of the promise of God to Abraham and Sarah that they would have a child. It seems that the aging couple had difficulty processing the scope of God's promise. The continued passing of time since that first announcement wasn't exactly building their anticipation. They weren't getting their hopes up, if they had ever had any hope of receiving the child of promise. Not even the visual aid of the starry sky night seemed to have offered Abraham the assurance of the potentiality of God's blessing. Why is the promise of a child repeated again in this scripture reading? I mean, besides the fact that it usually takes us a while to wrap our minds around the promises of God just because of the sheer magnitude of those promises. What seems to be different this time when the promise is communicated? The first thing we might notice is that this time the messengers at least appear to be of this world. Sometimes we just need a message from God to arrive in a familiar way. The voice or vision by which God had spoken to Abraham up to this point might have been clear. Oh, it was surely powerful. It even glowed in the glory of the stars. But these revelations left room for Abraham to wonder if it had all been real. Sometimes being able to put a face on something helps make it real. Abraham found himself able to see these messengers, interact with them, and offer them hospitality as they shared a meal. There is that, but there's another difference in this scripture. The visitors seem to have been looking not for Abraham, but for Sarah. The narrative begins with the arrival of three men, Abraham's offer of hospitality, and the gracious acceptance of the guests. The narrative continues with a detailed description of Abraham's hospitality and the menu of the day. The first real dialogue in the text is the question the visitors pose to Abraham. Where's your wife, Sarah? The rest of the conversation with Abraham is about Sarah. What if this visit is about getting Sarah involved in the conversation? After all, she had a role in the blessing that we usually attribute to Abraham. She got a new name too. Her name was now Sarah, which means princess. Shouldn't she be at the table for this conversation? Maybe we should focus a little more on Sarah today, even if it's Father's Day. Maybe Sarah offers us a model of a proper response to the promised blessings of God. Ah, but Sarah didn't believe it. She laughed, and then she lied about laughing. Yada, yada, yada. So goes so many, if not all, of the comments we have heard regarding this narrative. Sarah's laughter is usually interpreted as the dismissive laughter of incredulity. It's a commentary that usually continues along the lines, the matriarch, Sarah, Abraham's wife, laughed at God's improbable promise to her that she would bear a child and become the mother of nations. Then she lied in a ploy to deny her doubt. Maybe they're right, those who are willing to throw a princess under the bus. But is it fair to Sarah? Is it the only way to read this narrative? I think not. Even those critical of Sarah would tell us laughter, in fact, has many voices that reveal different things about us. So let's listen to Sarah's laugh today, and maybe we will hear another voice in her laughter. It might even be a laugh that could become contagious. Maybe we can laugh along with the princess. If you think it's a stretch to make such an assumption about this story, ask yourself this. Why is Sarah not allowed the same opportunity as Abraham? This was the second time Abraham had received this promise. When he heard it the first time, he fell face down, laughed, and said to himself, "Will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? Yet Scripture and all who comment on it tell us Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. Really? Why is it righteous belief to laugh at the promises of God when Abraham does it, but it's incredulity when Sarah laughs? To be fair, incredulity can mean either unbelief or disbelief. The difference there seems minute. It seems to be a matter of perspective or interpretation. In context, however, it seems many who hear two different voices of laughter in this passage, depending on whose laughter they're talking about, Abraham's or Sarah's. All I'm asking is, why must Sarah's laugh be the voice of unbelief, a laughter to be judged and condemned? Sarah is asked why she laughed, but there is no indication in the text that she was rebuked any more than was Abraham. In fact, her laughter seems to have struck something of a resonance that continued to ring. In Genesis chapter 21, we read, "The Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised." In a delightful double entendre, they named their son Isaac, which in Hebrew means "he laughs." Their son of laughter would always remind them of their disbelief. He would also testify how God's fulfilled promises and how God acted in their personal history despite improbable and unbelievable circumstances. Disbelief. How could that not be the expected response when unlimited divine promise and potentiality are poured into the finite minds of human beings? You not only laugh when the promises of God are unveiled, you continue to laugh each and every time you see the fulfillment of those promises. It is right there in front of you and you still can't believe it. So you laugh. Remember, laughter is, in fact, many voices that reveals different things about us. When I hear Sarah laughing, I hear a voice other than unbelief. I hear a voice of disbelief. I hear in Sarah's laughter a voice of pure joy, a joy that would ring long after the unexpected announcement and news that she was becoming a mother. I hear a voice of relief in Sarah's laugh, relief that her longing for a child would truly be over, relief to be lifted from the oppressive social ostracism toward barrenness in her day. Sarah's laughter is one of sheer delight. This God who had spoken to Abraham had spoken to her too. The promise Abraham had received included her too. God had a plan and she was part of that plan. Sarah's laugh was a voice that pealed with joy and declared, "I am blessed too." And knowing that, what could she do but laugh? Maybe Sarah's laugh had a nervous voice. Should she have been more reserved? Should the princess have maybe kept composure, especially in front of three strangers? Perhaps it was her casting caution to the wind that left her unable to explain her laugh or feeling the need to deny it when asked why she'd laughed. But what else could she do in response to hearing that God's blessing rested upon her too? Last week, we focused on the many ways God's presence has been made known to our congregation and in our own lives. We reflected on the provisions of God's steadfast love, mercy, and grace. We stopped along our way with Abraham to remember that, indeed, we are blessed. But with the psalmist, we might find ourselves at a loss, left asking, "What can I give back to the Lord for all the good things the Lord has done for me?" Today, it is Sarah who answers that question for the psalmist and for us. Sarah might say, "Give to the Lord your holy laughter. Let go and laugh. Laugh with disbelief at the way the stories of your life have taken gracious and unexpected turns. Laugh with delight in the company of a God who walks with you and laughs with you, opening a way where there had been no way. Go ahead and laugh with holy audacity when reality seems to declare victory over you, because you know that despite however grim life might look at the moment, you are blessed too. Let laughter fill your life and your worship with joyous delight at all the unbelievable ways and places that the blessings of God surprise you. You are blessed too. So laugh with Sarah along your way."